Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Morehead State University President Dr. Jay Morgan. Dr. Morgan, thanks so much for being on the show.
Great to be with you, Leanne.
It is a busy week here at our dear old MSU. It's homecoming week.
It is homecoming week. Wednesday through Saturday are jam-packed.
So the football team is hosting Butler on Saturday, but there's a whole lot of stuff going on here on campus. The Adrian Dorn University Center is going to be open all day. I remember last homecoming, we had kind of a sneak peek because it wasn't finished at that time. It
we
wasn't
did.
Completely finished. But now people are going to be able to go in there and eat and see the facility as it works. And there's a kickoff celebration that Friday evening at 5:30 there at ADUC.
There is. Of course, we opened partially ADUC for a sneak peek last year and had a number of ribbon cuttings and other nice things. This year, just come get your milkshake. So Come visit campus. We hope the weather is beautiful. Enjoy some time, reminisce a little bit, be nostalgic. It's okay. But later on that afternoon, there is a wonderful evening event where we honor a number of individuals for their contributions to the university, and we're going to have a big event Friday night.
Yeah, there's going to be the Founder Award in Alumni Hall of Fame, Athletic Hall of Fame. A lot of people are going to be recognized for their contributions either while they were here or the things that they've come or they've achieved since they have left the university. And a few of those people still are real close by.
They are. They're just down the road.
Yeah.
So, and some of them are very familiar names. So look out for that, and if you cannot make it, make sure you read the press on that. I think you'll be impressed by the quality of the awardees there. Saturday morning never stops, though. The parade is wonderful, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your walking shoes. We are really, 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 we have every finger crossed looking for good weather. Last year, we moved the parade to Saturday morning from Thursday. That was out of a response of listening to people, and they thought that brought a little bit more festive occasion to kind of a traditional homecoming day with the football game.
I know a lot of the locals
tailgating,
are excited.
A lot of the local folks are excited. And it really gives those folks who are driving in just for a day or so the ability to bring their kids to the parade. So come that morning about 9 or 9:30, we're hoping for good weather. A lot of student groups and community groups are building floats going on this week. So I hope to get out and see a couple of them under construction later today.
Yeah, it's going to be a great parade on Saturday morning down on Main Street. I try to always make sure that I'm able to stop in and see that. It's always a good time. But I am glad that it's moved to Saturday because I remember a couple years ago on Thursday night it was rainy, it was cold, and it was dark.
And it was dark, that's right.
It was really dark. And so it wasn't something, I know it's going to be a lot better, especially for the little kids on a Saturday morning. I know we're all looking forward to
bring all the little kids, big kids, and even adults. Mm-hmm. Come out and join us.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. But that's just the football game and the homecoming celebration isn't really the only thing that we're celebrating here at Morehead State. There's really a lot that's happening, and I wanted to touch base with you. I know we talked briefly a couple months ago about the scholarship program, the Soar to New Heights Eagle Scholarship Program that was launched this time last year. We're at the year mark.
We are first of 3 year mark.
And a 3 year program. And I was amazed at the effort that the people here at MSU had put in and how much money has already been raised with that scholarship.
We have done phenomenally well and we're all smiling about it. As you know, last homecoming, we set out a goal really, in our Soar to New Heights scholarship campaign to raise $15 million in just 3 years. And to some universities, that's a small number, but that amount of money to us means something,
yeah,
and certainly to our students. We think, roughly, without mentioning an exact number, that we're about that $8.5 million mark of monies that have been channeled towards scholarships for our students. Some have been immediate dollars flowing to students. Some are endowed dollars that flow out over a number of years. But we have had some wonderful contributors say, I love this messaging, I love this initiative, and I want to give money. Who can turn down a student?
Right.
So we think we're somewhere in the $8.5 million mark, marching on $15 million, and we have two more years to go.
Mm-hmm.
I know we can make it. We're going to make it. And it's all for our students, and people buy into it.
Yeah, I
they
think
buy
so.
Into it. And they don't want to fund brick and mortar always, but they will give $250 if they know a student is benefiting.
Well, I feel like it really speaks the original mission of Morehead State University. You know, the university began specifically for this region, this Eastern Kentucky region, to reach out to these students who, you know, even now, so long after the initial institution of the university, these students live in poverty. They come from communities that are impoverished, below the poverty line. They struggle. They come from not all of our students come from those types of situations, but the majority come from regions where that is the norm. And it's nice to be able to know that our students are going to be mm-hmm. taken care of. And it makes it more education more accessible to these.
Many of them just need $250, $500 in a semester just to close that gap. Mm-hmm. Some need $2,000 to close the gap. So regardless of what it is, I really want to thank all of our contributors. Many of them were alumni, but not all of them. Some of them said, you know, I'm not an alumnus, but I know somebody that was, or I just believe in your mission.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some money, and we really appreciate it. And 100% goes to the students. We don't take management fees. We channel all the money to our students. And that's really something that I've been very proud of all of our individuals doing and people buying into. It's a great mission.
No, absolutely. And one of the reasons that we kind of focused on this mission kind of comes down from performance-based funding stuff. And I know that most regional universities in Kentucky, well, all regional universities in Kentucky are facing the same issues, trying to meet those metrics with performance-based funding and figuring out a way to tackle the pension issue. I know you sent out an email earlier this week that talked a little bit about what's happening with the pension, but let's update our listeners mm-hmm. on that, because a lot of times, you know, those of us who aren't in the midst of public education administration, we don't really know what's happening.
Well, they are. They're kind of those unseen things that are behind, kind of behind the scenes. We have to deal with them from an accounting perspective. But you're right, Leanne, they are very real. You mentioned the first one is performance funding. We're about 2.25 years into the Commonwealth of Kentucky having a new performance funding model.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tough adjustment for all universities, not just ours. 2- and 4-year schools all across the Commonwealth are grappling, some of them struggling with how to make this turn from base allocation to really having to compete for your dollars. And those competitions, if you will, are real, and we're pushing forward on them. Related to performance funding, we're performing pretty well. Many of our metrics are above the state average, which is good. That yields more money for us. But because we're a little bit smaller school, which is in and of itself not a bad thing, because we're a little bit smaller school, we just don't have the volume that many of our other sisters throughout the Commonwealth do. And that goes against us. And when it goes against us, that means really a loss of dollars. And we're projected because of that to lose several million dollars. And that's a tough discussion to talk about. And many people on the surface don't see it, nor do they understand it. But that loss is tough for small schools like Morehead State University. Although our performance metrics look pretty good, nobody can argue with them. It's just the size that we are that really hits us. You also mentioned pensions, which has been a really tough equation for the past couple of years. And I'll start by saying at the tip of the funnel or the top of the funnel, Kentucky has a pension problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to require a whole lot of effort over a number of years to get those pension plans turned around and get them what we would consider satisfactory solvent again. That's creating a lot of pain on the universities, a lot of pain on K-12, local mental health centers, county health departments. Really, no one is escaping this, even the taxpayer. And to MSU, it's costing us several more million dollars a year to pay pension costs. So you add that on losses to performance funding, more cost on the pension side, and you can see the divide there. It's very real. I remain half glass full, optimistic that we can work through it. We have been working through it, but it creates some itchiness all across the Commonwealth, and we haven't been immune to it. We have good people, and we're working through it. And every day is really, how do we make moves strategically on our campus? How do we recruit more students? How do we create a better retention environment on campus? How do we make sure we don't have underrepresented minorities who may drop out? How do we get that rate up? How do we get our Pell-eligible students from dropping out because of financial issues? And that's all harkens back to what we talked about just a couple of minutes ago, our Soar to New Heights scholarship program. How do we channel money to low-income students, regardless of race or regardless of where they came from, to keep them in school? That's our mission. And I think we're doing a real good job with it. And but we do have a tough performance funding equation and a lot of pension strain.
Are there, I mean, I know that there's been a huge focus on scholarships and student retention and student recruitment. More students definitely will help us tackle some of the issues that are here at MSU. But what are there any other things that are being instituted and changed as far as trying to tackle, like, specifically the performance-based funding metrics?
There are, and many of them are unseen. They're kind of behind the scenes, so to say. I'll give an example. In 2 years' time, in what I'll call doubling down on our retention efforts, we have increased retention from 69% to 74%. That's a tough lift when you're dealing with roughly 10,000 students. So that averaged over 10,000 really speaks to the efforts that our campus all across the board has put into that. Some of the things that we're doing are trying to institute high-impact practices. Do students get an internship? Do students, are they involved in clubs, activities, fraternities and sororities, athletics? An involved student is a student that typically sticks in school. They right. feel a belonging, they feel a connection, and we want all students, or as many as possible, to have that connection to campus, whatever their interest level is in each area. Another thing that we're doing is trying to maximize our student work programs, our earn-to-learn programs. We have not cut over the various years of state budget cuts. The monies in total that the university has to go into student work programs. We want them working here in the studio. We want them working in laboratories. We want them doing things that we need here on campus, and they're a vital part. Now, I contend they don't make a lot of money, but, you know, it is a good start. It's the ability to stay involved in a little bit different area. All across the board, coupled with trying to get students to live in our residence halls, we've lifted our percent of residence hall occupancy a couple of percent. Again, when you're dealing with thousands of students, that's a tough lift to do, mm-hmm. but we've done it. And I think all that speaks to driving better performance for the university. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'm proud of, switching gears just a little bit, is our U.S. News and World Report rankings
yes.
that just came out just a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I saw that not only did MSU make the list once again, but also improved their rankings significantly.
Very significantly. Just some rough numbers. Of course, U.S. News and World Report, we call it the granddad of all the rankings agencies. It's the one that most people probably look at and pay attention to the most. It's not the be-all to end-all, but it is a little bit of a barometer of how your university or college is doing. Proud to say MSU did very well. Last year, we ranked number 65 among all universities in the South. That's public and private. This year, we moved up 22 wow. positions mm-hmm. to rank number 43 among all universities in the South. That type of jump is monumental, and I think it speaks to a lot of the good work, a lot of the performance that we have shown over the past year and the good things that everyone on campus has done. But if you pull that back just a little bit more and you take out the private schools, good schools, but they're a little bit different from us. Take the privates out, leave all the publics in. We rise to number 19 in the South, and that's the number that we're extremely proud of. I think we can get that down below 15 next year, and we're going to really push hard to get in the top 10 in the South. I think we can do it. We've proven that we can do it by lowering our ranking from 65 to 43 just in 1 year, and 19 among the publics. We can get to 15 or 10. And really, our alumni should be proud of that. That means something.
And I want to talk a little bit more about how we're going to change that for next year, but we need to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Kick off your Halloween celebration with Moorhead Theater Guild's Dining with the Dead this Friday and Saturday. The three-part event begins at the Old Town Cemetery, where characters from Moorhead's colorful past rise from their graves and share their stories. Dinner follows at the Rowan County Arts Center. It ends with a ghost walk in downtown Moorhead. Tickets, call 783-9857 or go online at moorheadtheater.org. Not recommended for children under five.
And we're back here on Open Mic, here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Moorhead State University President, Dr. Jay Morgan. Dr. Morgan, thanks so much for being on the
show. Great to be with you, Leanne.
Now, we wanted to talk a little bit about the rankings, and we're bragging on some really great things that are happening here at the university. But I wanted to kind of switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit, go back to our student enrollment numbers.
Of course, everybody watches enrollment, and enrollment means a lot of different things and a lot of different ways. I'll give an example. Just to give you a sneak peek nugget without giving all of them, our incoming freshman class, our new students coming in fall of 2019, was about 1,320 students, so a healthy number. That's about average for us. If you remember last fall of 18, we really had a premium amount of students. We were up over the 1,400 mark. Those students, many of them are still with us and tracking through quite nicely. So about 1,320, take or give, freshmen. That's about where we needed to be. That's a good stabilized budget number for us. But one of the things that I'll really call out is the work we do out in the region, and that's with dual credit in our local high schools. And those high schools are all the way from Ashland down to Pike County, over to Nicholas County. So you can kind of see the triangle that we predominantly work in. We have about 27 or 2,800 dual credit students, and those students are taking credit out in the high schools. And that, again, plays in with our service mission to try to service education in our 22-county service region. One of the slippage points that you'll probably see at upcoming board meeting is because of some changes at the state level, our number of graduate students, particularly teachers coming back to get a master's, has slipped a little bit. And while we watch that number very closely, we're looking at some strategies maybe that we can do to change that, make it a little bit more beneficial for some of those individuals to come back and get a master's degree. So the quick bullets, if you will, the prelude before the big report that we put out here shortly is about 1,320 freshmen. That's a decent number for us, but we need to pay a little bit more attention to our graduate students.
It's always a hard decision to make when you spend 4 years at a university if you want to spend more time to stay on, or even those graduate students who come back after they spent some time professionally out in the world. I know that's a difficult thing for some people to make the commitment to do. But, you know, my oldest son is actually one of those dual credit. He's enrolled and doesn't even have to leave his high school. And I think that's a wonderful opportunity for him. It kind of gives him a sneak peek at college,
to see if
it's something that he really wants to do. So it's been a great experience for him thus far. I did want to talk really quickly about facilities here on campus. I feel like we talked about ADUC for so long and finally got it open and running beautifully. But and there's not a lot of big changes that are happening on campus right now. I know the volleyball facility over in the AAC is kind of one of the last things that we were working on.
Coming to a close, or is to a close. You mentioned ADUC, and that for those of you that are alums, ADUC was really ground zero for people. Mm-hmm. That has returned to be ground zero. Students, you can go in there around lunchtime, and you just can't hardly get in line and spend less than 20 minutes waiting on food. We have 5, 6, 7 food venues in there, so it's a wonderful place for students to go and congregate, have lunch or dinner, study a little bit, have some coffee, and then go back to class. Thank goodness we're done with that, and we're on to some other projects. Our project after ADUC was a volleyball practice facility. We have just finished that. We're still putting a little bit of paint touches on it just to finish it up, and I suspect we'll have kind of a ground opening, ribbon cutting, whatever you want to call it, on a volleyball facility, probably sometime in early December. And that is a really nice facility where our volleyball team can practice, they can play, and then also when volleyball is playing on the AAC main floor, the big floor as we call it, our men and women's basketball teams can practice in the practice facility. So that is completed. We have a little bit more touch-up to do and hope to cut the ribbon on that here just maybe in a month or so, but they're using it right now.
Yeah.
Right now, we're just trying, before the cold weather comes, to do a little bit of campus cleanup. You saw Nickel Alley got repaved just a couple of days ago, late last week. We're fixing some sidewalks. We're doing a little bit of painting. We seal coated a big part of campus last summer in an effort to clean up after a number of construction projects. And we're also fixing the front of the library. You've probably seen a little bit of a lift over there.
I wondered what that was.
I doubt we have it completed by homecoming this weekend, but our folks have done a good job at least getting that going. And that's a beautiful old building.
It really is.
But with old buildings comes a lot of repairs, mm-hmm. and we're trying to repair some of the masonry and the beautiful stonework on the front to keep that from falling off. So probably another week or two that will be done. So some nice things happening facility-wise.
That will be wonderful to see. And we hope that a lot of our MSU alums will join us this weekend for the homecoming festivities. Come see how campuses change, what's happening down here, learn about the scholarships and some of the great programs that are going on and things that are changing. But unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Dr. Jay Morgan, thank you so much again for joining us. I really do appreciate
it. Thank you. Come see us this weekend for homecoming.
Absolutely. And for all our listeners, we'll see you next Friday.